This is part two of the Clicker Training Cast. Before I do the live portion, I wanted to give you the resources that I promised you, but that I forgot about. If you're a Bookshare customer, you can download Jean Donaldson's, D-O-N-A-L-D-S-O-N, book, The Culture Clash. Explains much of the theory that I've talked about. Also, Karen Pryor, her last name is spelled P-R-I-O-R, has several books on both Bookshare and Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. Her classic is called Don't Shoot the Dog. And the last Bookshare recommendation is from Melissa Alexander, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R, and the book is called Click for Joy. We've put many other clicker training books up on Bookshare besides those three. You can also get books from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic by Ian Dunbar. His first name is Iagan. His last name is D-U-N-B-A-R. And you can go to my favorite website, which is www.clickersolutions, C-L-I-C-K-E-R-S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N-S.com. Okay, well, I have been trying to do this part two several times, and something always goes wrong. I got a really great recording once, but my microphone kept making this scratchy noise, so I decided that wasn't very good. And today, Boston did an excellent session. He ran around on campus and returned off-leash, and did several other beautiful things for me off-leash, a little pokily, but he did everything I requested of him. And there was a lot of environmental noise. There's a guy running a leaf blower. There's a loud fountain. So I decided that this is the best I'm getting so far, so I'll let you listen to this session with Boston today. Unfortunately, you don't hear the clicker. And the reason you don't hear the clicker is because there's too much noise with the fountain and the leaf blower. So I'm going to go ahead and click a few times now in my quiet office next to the microphone so you can hear what the clicker sounds like. That's what a clicker sounds like. And here's a dog who wants a treat. All right, Fuzz Muffin. I think you can give her a treat. Did you hear a clicker? You heard a clicker and you want a treat. Here we go. Yep, he liked that. Okay, well, here's our live session.
We're in the center of the college campus where I work. To the fountain. It's bright and sunny. It's around noon. My dog is running around like a fuzzy maniac. In a minute, I'm going to blow my whistle and summon him, and we'll see how long it takes him to get there. To get a treat this time. Last time I called him, he didn't get a treat, but I forgot to push record, so after all, treating the dog is more important than podcasting for you guys, so we should have a treat now since he's come a couple times without one. Here we go. Good boy. Good boy. Good dog. Go play. This is an area called the Sunken Garden. It has a lawn around the fountain and all sorts of lovely seating places. Some are wooden benches and some are stone benches. It has stone steps on all sides of the fountain going to various directions of the campus. It's about in the center. It's one of the most popular places for students to congregate. There's a great place to sit outside and eat lunch. It's February, but here in California it's about 60 degrees outside. Boston walking back and forth here, drooling on me, he's looking for another treat. Always saw me reach for my whistle, now he's really close. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is let him wander off. As soon as he's really distracted, watching squirrels, then I'm going to blow this whistle again, but this time I'm not going to give him a treat when he comes. I'm going to make him do several obedience things. I'm going to make him sit between my legs. I'm going to snap my fingers and have him put his butt between my legs. Then I'm going to have him hand me his foot. Then I'm going to have him speak. And then at last, I'm going to give him his treat. So it'll be delayed, but he'll have something fun to accompany for. Here we go. foster care is a perfectly safe place for him to run, and the security people know that he's running around here. In fact, he has a large yellow bandana on him that says, "My mom is sitting waiting for me in the central garden. If you find him, he's not lost." And he's running around again, but he's not going very far because I have treats, and he's very excited about that. But we want him to run away for one important reason. There might be a time that he runs away where he isn't as safe, and I need to be able to get him back. So this is directly in violation of any guide dog training I have. I'm doing this with my own dog, and I'm taking full responsibility for it. I would not advise anyone else to do it. I'm just demonstrating what I'm doing with my own dog right now, and not anything that's authorized by the school. He's about 10 feet away from me. He's really excited about the treats and things. He doesn't want to go chase his birds or squirrels anymore. Now notice I haven't really given him many treats. In fact, as I said, before I turned this on, I did several calling him, and you know, I didn't treat, but I forgot to push record. But anyways, he's been running around a lot, and he's only had a couple of treats, but he's had a lot of interaction with me. He's got praised, and he's gotten to do some of his favorite things, like give me a foot. Hanging around. So since you really want, he does go after running off. All right, he just chased a squirrel. He's way on the other side of the second garden now. He's got really loud tags, and he's got one of those Christmas bells on him. I have an even louder bell I put on him when I go to larger places, but it's pretty enclosed here, so I don't really need a loud bell. I can hear him. You may not be able to hear him. This is a cheap Sony, Radio Shack electric mic. So, and there's all that leaf blower noise over there. There always seems to be the yard work over here at the time I wanted to put the place. It always comes to the bush every time. Alright, I think we're going to do some heels or sits standing there.
Boston heel. Good animal. Hey, what a guy. Jake.
On stay is not that good off leash. On leash, okay for years, right? But off leash is duration. I'd say 30 seconds max. And so clearly, I thought my work was good. I never said I was a dog trainer. Okay, it's time for VA juice. I'm gonna let him keep running around. Ugh, dog slime. He's like slime. Oh, right! Of off-leash training is that you can't get your dog to run away off-leash once you've discovered really good things happen if you stay here. Go away! Go! We're in a very safe place right now, so he can run for maybe 300 or 400 yards any direction here. All he'll encounter is a few students eating lunch and or a shallow fountain. So it's a really great place to take him. But he's just not doing it today. He's hanging around looking at my VAP scan, hoping I'll get him ready to come in. Well, you asked for it, says nothing. Oh, there we go. This one I think I'm going to have to give him some more commands. He runs off, which is great. You know, it's funny, in the old days before cell phones, especially before cordless headsets, if you were podcasting, which you of course weren't doing because there wasn't such a thing in those days, people would have thought you were talking to yourself. But nowadays, especially on a college campus, everybody figures you're just talking on your cell phone, so you don't have to feel quite as silly sitting out here in the open talking. See, I'm already talking to third person because I do feel silly talking to myself. But there's no rational reason I should, because everybody around here taps on their cell phone to their friends. Alright, we want to leave him unattended for a really long time. That way he can get into some trouble. So we're going to have to call him again. I think he's probably pretty wrapped up in something, so we may not have quite as much success this time. I think we won't do a treat this time, but we'll give him a lot of attention this time. Let's see how successful he can be. Really important if you work with your dog off leash is that you don't want to set up a situation where the dog discovers that coming to you is not fun. If a dog figures out that coming to you is not fun, a dog figures out quickly that he'll do everything he can to run away and not come back. And here's how people inadvertently make coming back not fun. The first thing they do is go home. So the dog comes in, he's good boy, good.
Good boy! Yeah, what a pussy! Oh, what a good boy! That's a good boy! Go play!
Oh, go play! The dog comes back to you, okay? And then you go home. So you take the dog to the park, and you play for a while, and then you say, okay, it's time to go home, you call the dog, and you go home. So the dog says, okay, if I come to mom, it's time to go home, I'm not doing that. So yes, eventually you do have to go home. But you do want, when you call the dog to come home, the dog shouldn't know that's what he's being called for. He should figure he's coming back for another snuggle or another treat or another something good. Maybe you're gonna rip a surprise tug toy out of your bag. I forgot the big one today, but a lot of times I do have a tug toy in. So there should be some reason that he thinks he's coming back. And maybe, you know, 10% of the time you provide a treat. Mm-hmm. You know, 20% of the time you provide a tug toy, 100% of the time you provide toys, but no matter what you do, you always have something good happen when it comes back. Then maybe you sit with him and snuggle for a bit, and you slip a leash on and get ready, and then you go home. But you don't directly associate the coming back or the going home. But what you're going to have is a dog that will not come back. The other thing, and this always irritates me, is to call their dog to punish it. What same dog is going to come to first and second punishment? The other thing is people call their dog doesn't come, and they start chasing the dog. Well, dogs love to chase. They just love to play chase. So if you start chasing your dog when you after you call it, then you're teaching your dog running away is a lot more fun than coming. So that's my strategy. So I do have a dog that comes back, but I don't have a dog that comes back like a professionally trained dog. But I can trust that my dog is going to take off. He's still hovering around here. Gosh, it's been a long time since you've had a treat, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it pleasant-looking? I'm glad you want him off. Oh, I think I could stand to give him another treat. Let's see if I have a small treat right here. I tried to put a really small stuff in here, but I was out of really small stuff. And how's the dog biscuits? They're like ship's biscuits. They're like really hard. hard to break the pieces. But you don't want to use your good, good stuff. Okay. I'll do a couple of other commands. You know, if he doesn't play the hour until 11, he's probably going to jump up on a bench. And I'll do a couple more steps in here to stay. Yeah, we'll give him a treat right at the beginning. He's been around for a while. Yeah, with that, I think he's called a kind of whistle because I just really like blowing a whistle. That is bellowing for my dog. I think it's like horrible. People bellowing. Here, popping, here, popping. So it's a little more subtle. I've been working on training him to dog whistle, but it's very unreliable right now, and I wouldn't demonstrate it because he basically doesn't do it 5% of the time. But we'll have to, we're doing it in our backyard where he's perfectly safe. And he gets better with the dog whistle. Also, you kind of do a dog whistle on a podcast unless you slow his speed down. You would be doing it, but we'll just use this screechy thing. Oh, what a guy. Fingers, I'm going to need the buster. He's rotating. That's a dog. That's a very good dog. That's a very good dog. No, you got one off on me. Off you sit. There we go. Off you up. Good boy. That's a good boy.
Austin, heel. Good boy.
Held my fist up above my head
and I said touch and then he jumped in the air and slips it. He really likes doing that. I firmly believe obedience shouldn't be all boring, say it to you, say it to you, and should be the next thing the dog really enjoys. But he really does have to know how to stay in the air and that's crucial. You want a rubber fish cut, you want an animal that you know is safe to stay when you need it to. But my gosh, you don't have to make it all militaristic. Okay, so let's see. We've done touch. He likes that so much. You don't have to do it very often, really, for him to remember it. We've done some stays and heels. Clearly he needs to have a little more duration, but you want to extend duration just a tiny bit. And I've been working more on duration in my backyard where it's not quite so exciting. We've done a lot of different sits in different positions. We've done foot, which is hand me your foot. Oh, he found some of his friends. Now, I'm going to call him away now. These are people who like to pet him. He might as well enjoy them. If I really needed him, I'd call him away. But he can be pulled away from people easier than squirrels. So since I already know he's pretty good around the distraction of other people, I don't have to stop his friends. He's got some problems around dogs. He likes to take his dog parts in it. When he's really busy playing with other dogs in Colin. With traditional training, you know, if the dog doesn't come, you have to correct it. And so off-leash, that's always hard to do. But with clicker training, what you're really doing is just practicing the behavior so much that it becomes automatic for the dog. So, you know, you brush your teeth in the morning because you've been brushing your teeth in the morning for so long. You don't really have to think about it. And see, that's what happens with the dog. It becomes a habit. So, yes, he still needs reinforcement, but a lot of times he'll just do without thinking. I mean, he's not going, is there a treatment for me? Oh, well, if there's a treat, I guess I'll come. It's like, well, every time she misses, I always come. So I guess I'll come, and then if there's no treat, I'll be bummed that it's too late. But that's what you're trying to do, is make this to be such a habit that we're not talking about disrespect or anything here. The dog doesn't defy you because it's like you not brushing your teeth. You just don't think, you just do it. It's a habit. All right, this cutter's a blood bath, so I'm going to call him again. And we'll not give him a treat this time. But play with him a little bit. And then I'll give him one more round, and then it'll be time to go home. I gotta get back to work. I got things to do. To find garbage cans for me. I could have harnessed them up and had him do that, but this one wasn't that far away. The advantage there is when I pick up after him, I just have to say, where is it? Where is it? Go find it. And you can see right to the garbage can. So that's nice and quick and sanitary and makes life easier. And I've been clicking him for that. He's been reliably finding a couple, but there are many he does not find. So I think what I'm going to do is try showing him a few garbage cans with my cane and maybe taping a milk load to the lid of a garbage can, and then he'll guide me over there, and I can pull a fresh clean one out of my pocket and give it to him, or give him a little treat, put the milk load in, which is the one that was taped to the lid of the trash. That's how I taught him how to find those poles you push to cross the street, you know, those walk sign poles. They're never at the intersection. So he has to line up the intersection like every other guide dog, but then I'll say, where's the pole? And he'll take me over the pole and I can push the button. And to do that, I would tape a milk bone on the pole right at the button. But then when he got there, it snuffed the milk bone, and I would take it away because it was probably dirty. And then I'd give him a little piece from my pocket. He's looking for that. That worked really well. So now he's very reliable at finding the pole. Okay, he's been wandering off unsupervised long enough, so let's call his pet back. Some pet him if they want. Yeah, sweet fuzzy. Sit, good boy. Yeah, he's decided, okay, if my mom leaves, I might as well obey. Might as well sit. Hey, sweetie, we got to run some errands. We do. find buildings before we get back to office, and we don't have to ride. That's right. Oh, it's hot out here. It's hard to believe it's only February, but it is really warm. Now he's securely tethered to me. Let's see. I guess we'll end this recording because this microphone doesn't work when I jiggle it around. I love to use it for our campus, but it will not work for this microphone. Bye-bye for now.